And we now have a Final Four in hockey, and I'm excited to talk about it today on Spits and Suds with our favorite guest, of course, our NHL and Stars insider, Sean Shapiro, on this edition of Spits and Suds. What a Game 7 it was. We'll get to it in just a moment with Sean with some angles that you might not have thought of, and that's why we love doing this program. Let's thank the on-time experts. They have been so supportive of this show, and they are so supportive of the Dallas Stars, the official HVAC company of both the Dallas Stars and Spits and Suds. They support local hockey in DFW. So if you're thinking about an HVAC company or a plumbing company, the on-time experts are there for you. And same day service guaranteed. What does that mean? It means if you call now, they'll be there that day. I've heard stories of you have to go get a hotel because it's too hot in your house, or where do I put the dog? All those inconveniences go away with the on-time experts. Two amazing specials, $59 first-time customer HVAC cleanup and tune-up. It'll put years back on your unit. The second thing, the $99 first floor drain cleaning special from the on-time experts. There's no better feeling than that drain, nice and smooth. And you, in these upcoming hot months, you don't have to go under your sink to clear your drain. You don't have to go buy all these chemicals. The on-time experts will clear your drains on the first floor for just $99. So take advantage of these specials and let them show you what they've shown me and thousands of others, why you should be a customer for life. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. We continue with our off-season Spits and Suds programs. As much as we hate to be in the off-season, we love to talk to Sean Shapiro of Shap Shots. That's his Substack, of his YouTube channel with our friend Robert Tiffin, Algorithmically Incorrect, which is also terrific. Another episode should be dropping tomorrow, I believe. And then we have D Magazine, which Sean writes for, always throws his opinion out, always as honest as he can be. And that's why we love him. You just heard him say, yes, indeed, there will be a new episode of Algorithmically Incorrect. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gavin. There's no games tonight, right?
Yes.
So kind of a recovery. But last night was fun. We had game 7 for Montreal and Buffalo. Watched the PWA game 3, the Walter Cup final for the PWHL. Yep. With my daughter, and she really enjoyed that, even though she is actively rooting for Montreal. So she wanted there to be, she did not want Ottawa to pull it out like they did last night, but that's kind of learning in your sports fandom, I guess, as we go and figure this all, as you kind of get the firsthand experience on that. So I'm doing really well today, Gavin. I'm happy to be here. And I also play in the summer. I get to play late night on Mondays. And so had played some late night hockey last night. So happy. So feeling good as well.
Is it tough to go to bed after you play late night hockey?
Very, very much so.
Yeah,
Sometimes I intentionally leave the dish, because I do the dishes typically. That's the so I typically leave the dishes sometimes I get the dishes done when I get back from playing late night hockey, because it gives me something to basically do while you're trying to get the adrenaline to stop and everything like that.
All right. One other personal question. We've seen Hellebuck with the eye exercises. We've seen some goalies with the tennis ball or racquetball against the wall. Is there anything you do to warm up?
I don't use it every time I play, but I have used one of those VR headsets before, because I actually won one once at a there was like a competition thing and I won one. And so I have one of those and I've used those a couple times before for like picking up shots. I will say for me, it's beer league. So I don't get the time and space for all the off ice, shenanigans and everything like that. But I do enjoy the, for me, it's big. The warm-up part for me is more about eyes than actual making saves. Because like we only get like 3 minutes for warm-ups in beer league. Like it's not like an NHL warm-up where you're getting full 15 minutes. And so if you ever watch like during a warm-up, like when we had last night, during those 3 minutes, I probably don't ever drop to make, I don't ever drop into a butterfly to make a save during warmups. It's all about watching the puck into the hands.
Okay.
And it's all about it's more about getting the eyes going than the body. So that's kind of the routine for me.
Well, Montreal starting goaltender Jacob Dobish, who came up huge last night, was questioned as far as, are you tired? And he said he could play 40 more games. So,
what a great story. What a great story.
Amazing story. It truly is. And they are an amazing story. And for those that don't know, the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup was 1993. Now they have had three opportunities in the 2020s, so to speak. One was Montreal and Edmonton for the last 2 years. So, Sean, I agree with you. I love the Dobish story. One of the things that I absolutely love, and other cities do this, but the cutaway to the Bell Center in Montreal after the Canadian score, I mean, that just gave me as much excitement. I mean, I almost want to be in that building as much as I wanted to be in Buffalo's building last night. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was. There's something special about hockey in Montreal. Montreal's a really fun city. And there's a lot of really fun things about Montreal in general, actually. But there's one of the things I really like about Montreal is as someone who likes European sports and has been to soccer games over in Europe and been to hockey games over in Europe, Montreal has very much that feel where it doesn't feel like it's North America. Like it is North America, but it's kind of between the French Canadian culture and everything like that. And that team really, and the history of that team really represents everything to that community. Bell Center is really one of the places that, like, if I was to tell someone, hey, go watch a game somewhere, that would be high on the list. And you can see, even when the game is actually happening in Buffalo, the energy and the vibe. Such a fun place to watch a game.
Yeah, it really is. And fun Canadian angle as we look, who should we root for in the Final Four? And a lot of us have shifted toward Carolina, because we want to root for Logan Stankoven. At the same time, hasn't really been pointed out, Sean, that one of, well, the assistant coach for the Montreal Canadiens in charge of defensemen and the penalty kill is very, very former popular Dallas star Stefan Robida, who has been the assistant coach under Martin St. Louis for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and I got to give a ton of credit to that coaching staff there, because when Marty St. Louis took that job, he was clearly brought in to help individual talent, and that's not a bad thing. Like he was brought in to help the Cole Caulfields, the Nick Suzuki's, some of the younger, smaller, skilled players take the next step. And then I was always curious of what was going to happen kind of with his team coaching element of it, right? And he's obviously proven himself really well as a coach. This Carolina series is a really fun storyline with him versus Rod Brendamore, two guys that have kind of coached teams and players kind of in their image almost now as NHL head coaches. And Robida has done a really good job with the defensemen in Montreal. there is obviously he was pretty well beloved in Dallas and he's got some history there, but Lane Hutson is taking steps under Robidoux. A bunch of other guys have as well. So good, fun Stars connection right there, Gavin.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about Jacob Dobish, and it's so fascinating that just last season, he was in the AHL for a number of games, and the statistics, while decent, didn't blow you away during the regular seasons. I mean, what a run he is on. But little tidbit about Dobish is we love to throw these little tidbits in spits and suds. We talk about locally the NAHL and players like Connor Hellebuck who were discovered there. Well, Jacob Dobish played some time with the Topeka Pilots in the NAHL back in 2018-2019. So a little tidbit, but I mean, he is on a heater right now. They're a fun team to watch. That's going to be a fun series. The other thing we need to mention is, as of this podcast, Vegas has gone through their appeal with Gary Bettman, and while no decision is made, right, it seems as though they are, the NHL, sticking with the penalty that has come down for Vegas for not speaking to the media.
Yeah, and I think you and I Robert, you and I kind of were speaking last week right after this kind of came out, and it was, I don't know what Vegas, the two things aren't connected. It's not the reason they threw the penalty down or anything like that, but it's impossible for me to look at this kind of setup and not think about how at the same time the Golden Knights are kind of, well, legally they're doing what they're allowed to do with Bruce Cassidy. They are right. Not morally, they seem to be holding Bruce Cassidy hostage. Now he's getting paid, so let's be clear, that's not that's not, so he's getting paid money and everything like that. So that's there. But from a Vegas perspective, this all feels kind of like you're an NHL organization. Stop acting so childish, right? Yeah. and we said the same thing. You and I talked about Tortorella last week and everything. And I will repeat this element because it's important for me on this. Like, if you're going to so quickly run and take that media job with ESPN, like he probably wants to whenever he gets fired again, because coaches have short shelf life, like, don't be such a hypocrite, right? Like, don't go and don't treat people so poorly trying to do their job and then be so happy to run and take that money once it's available to you like that is. So I'm curious if there's eventually they do rescind it in a certain way or make it softer the way they've done some other things with some penalties like this. But I do think it is sending a message. And I know Kelly McCrimmon, the GM of the Golden Knights, is supposed to speak to the media in Colorado today. Because of when you reach the conference final, that's kind of something that you have to do. I'm interested to see, how, apologetic or professional they will be. Because I think the Golden Knights are, you win a Stanley Cup, banners hang forever, everything like that. But it is, it's a fascinating thought exercise, Gavin, to see they've gone from the plucky Golden Misfits to the bad guy very quickly in their history.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. Another story that has surfaced and how quickly we forget what elite means, Sean, is that it's an interesting exercise as a Stars fan if you want to do it and play along while this podcast is happening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Google search Mikko Rantanen and then just press news. And you will see various articles, you know, some from bloggers, like in Colorado, I was wrong about Chris McFarlane, saying that it was the right thing to trade Mikko Rantanen. And just a lot of people, Sean, and maybe it's based on what they see Logan Stankoven doing in the playoffs, but I mean, this guy was heavily injured coming out of the Olympics. People forget how good of a year he was having prior to the Olympics. Yes, some penalties that we wish he'd cut down on, but you know, he was the force of this Dallas Stars team. And then you look at last year, it's just, it's surprising that people are jumping off the Mikko Rantanen bandwagon when they have such an elite play. Like me, absolutely love the trade, love that he's on the Stars, love that he's tied up long term.
It's frustrating to me on the whole level of people. Like I've seen a bunch of people be like, oh, it's interesting where the two teams that traded away Mikko Rantanen are still in the playoffs. And you know what? Those two teams are favored, right?
Yeah.
Right now. So you could see Carolina and Colorado playing in the final. And it wouldn't surprise me. I don't like this revisionist history, though, of, hey, well, those teams must have known something. I mean, Colorado firsthand got beaten in a game 7 hat trick by Mikko Rantanen last year. Carolina, full credit to them. I said it at the time, they did a pretty good job moving assets when it was clear that Rantanen wasn't going to re-sign there. And I think Logan Stankoven has gone to a system and he's such a fun player to watch. I just did something with our pal Dmitry Filipovich earlier today over the PDO cast, talking about players that we find exciting and interesting to watch in these conference finals. And Stankoven is one of the ones high on my list. But Stankoven went to a system and a style of Carolina that fits him immaculately. And yes. I'm happy for him on that. But to go and act like Mikko Rantanen was the problem in Colorado is a complete fallacy. To go and act like Carolina wasn't already a good team, and then honestly, there's probably a better fit for, he wasn't the greatest fit for them, is okay too. So I don't know. It's just like Gavin. I always get annoyed when Stars, sometimes the things surface that the Stars picked Miro Heiskanen at 3 and Cale Makar went number 4. Cale Makar is going to be the Hall of Famer and win many Norris trophies and all that. But like, I get kind of frustrated with the revisionist history on that, because Miro Heiskanen is still a damn good player.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That was the right. And it was in a revisionist draft. Cale Makar's going number 1. You're still getting a damn good. You're still getting Miro at 3 would be incredible. So I get annoyed by that. And I guess it's a way to fill fodder and time right now, but yeah. So,
Sean, it was, I don't want to say good to see, but I really enjoyed watching Rasmus Dahlin in this Montreal Buffalo series. I mean, boy, what a takeover from a player. And I know Buffalo is heartbroken, and I understand the city has gone through a lot of loss, but what a ride for the Sabres too. Like just like the Mikko Rantanen trade, why can't all three teams win the trade? Like I feel as though all three teams won that trade. Like Colorado got what they wanted, Carolina got what they wanted, and Dallas got what they wanted. So,
and Marty Natchez is a really good player, but
really good.
But Marty Natchez also has found that, you know what, it's pretty good to play with Nathan MacKinnon, and it's okay to consider Nathan MacKinnon as a top 3 hockey player on planet Earth.
Yeah.
No matter who he is, right? Like that's okay. Anyone's going to have good numbers playing with him.
So. Right. So you mentioned Heiskanen, and I agree with you. Sometimes we're a little too picky with Heiskanen, but what about Thomas Harley? And I mean, I know Dahlin is a special, special player and, you know, matured into a terrific player, now captain of the Sabres, but could we see some of that Dahlin out of a Thomas Harley?
It would be nice, right?
Like, yeah.
I think there's one of the things that Dahlin has that I think translates to the rest of his game that Harley could probably add a little bit of is the Dahlin's got a little bit more of that grit and sandpaper to his game, right? A little bit like that kind of comes out in his attitude and his mentality a little bit more. And Thomas is such a calm, stoic at times. And I think for a couple of Stars defensemen, there's something that, like, I don't know if that's maybe the one, it's not the 1% that Glenn Gullitson had referred to when he was talking about, but if you're talking about the way I can dial up Thomas Harley and even Miro Heiskanen in a bit, how do you get a little bit of that healthy emotion into things? And it's funny, we were talking about Mikko Rantanen before. You and I, during the playoffs, I brought up the fact of I didn't mind Mikko Rantanen having some attitude and having some fire to his game. I think it would wake some other guys up. So I think that's part of it. I think it's
right.
Harley doesn't lack the confidence. Dahlin's a better player. I think it's okay to call that completely, call it what it is. Dahlin's a better player. But I think there's something that you can, without changing any of the skills when it comes to skating or shooting or anything like that, just the level of with Harley, of if you could have a little bit more of that natural grit that comes in from time to time, I think it goes a long way, especially this time of year. And it's I know that can be a little bit of an old school view on things, but I think it's true.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're kind of seeing that as far as like a little bit of grit and a player that's stepping up with Alex Newhook of the Montreal Canadiens. And I think once again, people forget Alex Newhook was a pending free agent that Colorado didn't necessarily want to spend the money on. And so they traded him to Montreal for a first round pick and a second round pick and a prospect back in 2023. So he was highly regarded, not the biggest point getter, but he's come up big scoring goals in two game sevens in a row. I mean, that's that I don't, certainly doesn't put you in the rafters, but for years upon years, Sean, the name Alex Newhook will live in Montreal folklore.
Oh yeah. And it's, this playoff run has been fun for the Canadiens. It's been, it's funny because they've played about double the games that Carolina's played. Yeah. They've played 14, Carolina's played 8, but there's something wonderful and chaotic and beautiful about the back-to-back 7-game series and the flaws they have to go through to get there and everything like that. It's a lot of fun. Like I live in the moment on that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fascinated by game one, Montreal, Carolina, because you have a team that's pretty exhausted off of 2 game 7s, but as far as like playing shape, they're in prime position, whereas Carolina got the proper rest. They haven't played in a while. So I'm interested to see as this game moves along, like who comes out of the box quick. And then as the game moves along, who wears down. It's really interesting to see if it's rest versus like playing all the time.
Yeah. The rest versus rust, the old rest versus rust, question, right? Like it's the, and that's a very it's a really good one. And I think there's gonna be, I think we will see some I think you'll see a little bit of benefits for both. Like Carolina, I think, is gonna have, having that time off is going to allow some guys like Nikolaj Ehlers to be better after dealing with some injuries and being a little bit rushed and not rushed, being a little bit shaken up. Taylor Hall's game at 34 has been, like, he's been quite a story there, Gavin, right? Like Taylor Hall to go and amazing, to kind of have the, to have the impact he's having at his age and not really, and just like, he's battled through so much, and it's been kind of fun to see that. It's been kind of fun to see that, right? And so I do think this is Carolina's series, but I do think it's one of those funny series where I don't think Carolina can, I don't think Montreal can lose this series, Gavin, right? Like Carolina may win. Carolina, I expect to win this series and be the team advancing to the Stanley Cup final. But Montreal is either going to win this series and go to the Stanley Cup final, and then we've got a heck of a story, or we've got a world where, you know what, the Hurricanes kind of win this series and Montreal loses and the Canadians are taking a step already.
Yeah.
Further than ahead of time. And those are all kind of positive things. So I don't know. I'm excited about this one. Cause I think it's a good collision of things. And I also love, as I mentioned earlier, I love the coaching collision here of Marty St. Louis coaching a team very similar to the way he played and Rod Brendamore.
Yep.
The historian perspective, I like it a lot.
No, there's a lot of great stories, including Freddie Anderson for Carolina, who has just been, a wall as far as you can't get goals by him so far. So, pretty cool story in Carolina. Quick ask, Sean. Mm-hmm. The Jason Robertson negotiations, obviously. They're taking place, but if you're Robertson's camp, is there anyone, like, for instance, even though he plays a different position, are you watching to see if Minnesota, what Quinn Hughes would get if they can get a deal done, or is that irrelevant?
I don't think the Quinn Hughes deal has much of an impact on the Robertson deal because for two reasons. The Hughes deal is, it's a different position. He's also he's a better player. Like, let's just call it what it is. Quinn Hughes is one of the best players on planet Earth. And Jason Robertson's a good player, but Quinn Hughes is a better player. I think that's fair to say. I think the better comp, and we had last week, Robert and I had Kyle Stitch on, who does contract projections, and he used Mikko Rantanen's deal as the comp, as the $12 million, as kind of that exact mid number of where it should be. And so I'm fascinated by, for me, with the Robertson deal, the question ultimately for me is going to be, does he want to be paid well and win, or does he want to be the highest paid player on a team and price himself out to go somewhere where he's not going to probably win in his career? I think the deal comes in around I think 12 million is fair. I think 12 and a half is probably, if you're Dallas, I think you probably want to think, hey, it's probably worth going up to 12. In my view, you should probably go up to 12 and a half to get it done. And hey, this is guys homegrown. We've done this and we take care of our own this way and everything. But if you're Robertson and you're like, hey, it's about getting the most money possible and everything like that, you could go make 13 or 14 million. You can make 14 million somewhere, but I don't know how you can look across the league landscape and see any other contending team with the cap space to do that and a viable cup window right now. And I think that's going to be one of Robertson's decisions that it's going to come down to. Because the other thing about Jason Robertson, and I don't want to mean this as any disrespect to anyone, Gavin, but Jason Robertson likes Dallas. He likes playing hockey in Dallas, but Jason Robertson is more of the he wants to play hockey and be part of a team, but it is not the Jamie Benn line we had last week where we talked where Jamie's like, this is all I've ever known, yada yada yada. I think Jason is, and he, wherever Jason is, he will be part of the community, just like he's been done the toy drive and the local police. I think Jason will do that wherever he plays. But I think Jason is a little bit more of a new aged player of, he wants to see value and in himself on the ice and off the ice. And while he would like that to be in Dallas, it is not the end all be all. And therefore, that's why I think any talk of a hometown discount of under sub 12 or anything like that is not realistic. And that's not to be rude to Jason. We have to slice things honestly when talking about this contract. I think in Jason's mind, 12.25 million, that is the hometown discount. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind here. And more power to the player for fighting for their value. But I think that's something that we overly assume players just want to stick somewhere, when Jason has been very open about it's him and his cat, right? Like, it's like, I don't want to be like, you know what I mean, Gavin? It's not Matt Duchene and his family who have basically Matt Duchene would probably pay to play in Dallas. So
it's a great point. Love the perspective. All right. So you have Algorithmically Incorrect. Another episode dropping tomorrow. So everyone go to YouTube and subscribe so that when they start the program, you will get a notification. I know you won't tell me who's coming on, but I have to do my reporter, put my reporter hat on. Do you have a good one tomorrow? I'm sure
we have a very good one tomorrow. Okay. I will break typical protocol and Robert can yell at me, but we are going to tomorrow. We've got it all. It's all set up, and I've already gone through his PR department and everything to get it all done. We're having Glenn Heffernan on tomorrow. Glenn is the president and commissioner of the USHL.
Nice. So
very excited to have Glenn on tomorrow. Normally we don't always tease it and everything like that, but since I went through USHL PR to set this all up and everything like that, why not? So yeah, Glenn Heffernan from the USHL tomorrow, and obviously Robert and I as well, and that will be live on YouTube at 1:30 Central, and then on all podcast platforms later that evening.
That is awesome. For those of you that don't know, the USHL is a terrific junior hockey league that is putting a lot of kids into major universities throughout the United States. It is absolutely terrific. In fact, some locals play in the USHL right now. So, So that's terrific. And of course, Shap Shots, his Substack, which is also wonderful. D Magazine, got a lot of feedback on the Jamie Benn article. So what you need to do, Mike Pellucci is on Twitter/X. So make sure you follow Mike and let him know via message that you appreciate seeing Sean write for D Magazine, as well as Robert and David Castillo. So we love supporting our guys. Sean, thank you so much, man. And man, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm excited to listen to that interview and your guys' takes on numerous issues, bud. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, we are, Gavin. This show is always a blast for me. I'm highly appreciative of what you do here and helping promote my work and promote others and everything. So it's a lot of fun. And it's always, I'd also be remiss. It's a Tuesday in May and we're doing this, and our producer Greg is doesn't always get the love. So let's give Greg some love on the way out today.
That's right. lots of love to Greg. And by the way, for those of you locally in North Texas, I just want to let you know that obviously my day job is running 105.3 The Fan, who hosts this podcast through Odyssey. And yes, both the morning show and the midday show have talked about that game 7 last night. So for those that say no one talks hockey in town, The Fan has expanded its hockey coverage. So just want to get that plug in as well. Sean's a beast. We'll talk to him later on in the week. Special thanks to Gregory Finley. As Sean pointed out, he does a great job producing this program, and to the on-time experts for all their help. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. We'll be dropping another episode tomorrow right here. Until then, have a great day, everyone.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.